Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I am excited to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. If you have a Bible, go ahead and get it and meet me in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We're going to pick it up around verse 11 and we'll read through verse 12. So whatever device you're on, wherever you are situated in your home, your car, whatever tablet you got, however you're watching this virtually, I want you to know that though we are still socially distanced, we are not disconnected. You know, I love the scripture that says, if any two or three of you would gather together in his name concerning anything, that God would show up in the midst of it. We have a scripture for what we're going through right now, that even though we are not physically in fellowship, we can still touch and agree. So thank God for technology. Thank God for this virtual experience of worship that we have this morning to touch and agree concerning anything. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever your thing is, I come into agreement with you right now and watch God show up in the midst of it. I believe God is going to do something powerful in our lives today through the word of God. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 11. Let's pick it up. The Bible says, now all these things happened to them as examples, as they were written for, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. I want to stop right there for just a second. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Beloved, I want to preach to you for the next few moments that we have together from the subject titled, The History of Discontent. The History of Discontent. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity to be in your presence, to hear a word from you, to receive a word from you. Father, as the word comes forth, let our hearts be open to receive it. Let our ears be anointed to hear it. The word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and to discern the intentions of our hearts. And so, Father, we are open to receive the word of God so that you can get down to the real issue, to the heart of it all, and change us and transform us by the renewing of our minds. And so I pray that we will be transformed and conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for what the word of God is going to do in our lives. And I give you praise in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This text is very, very provocative because it is a reminder to us that we all have a history. As a matter of fact, this text that Paul is bringing out to us is showing us how to learn the lessons from our history. And so you and I have stepped into a teachable moment to learn from our past. Paul is reminding us here of Israel's experiences and the experiences primarily of the patriarchs of Israel. And it was through their disobedience that forced them to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. It was through their disobedience that left them in the place longer than they needed to be. The first generation had an opportunity to enter into the promised land, but they never made it. That this is what is being described in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. They never made it. And the things that were recorded as examples for us, we are to remain teachable then because of what we can look back to see how somebody didn't do it the right way. And so this text is informing our future, is informing our destiny, because although we all have a history, I want you to understand we also all have a destiny. There's a famous line in a Shakespeare's play, Richard III, and the famous line is this: now is the winter of our discontent. This is how it opens up. But is it? It is a, another statement attached to that statement. It in Act 1, Scene 1, it says, now is the winter of our discontent, but made glorious summer by this son of York, and all the clouds that the Lord upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Now are our brows bound with victorious wreath. It's showing you in this old world language, in this Shakespearean language, that we all have a history, and it's starting the story at a point in its history of its discontent. The winter where things are so out of place, so unfair and so unexplainable, because this is what discontentment brings. Discontentment is really a dissatisfaction with where you are. It is a dissatisfaction with your circumstance. But the problem with discontent is that that dissatisfaction lays blame to someone or something, which makes you bitter against that thing or that person. And so when we read 1 Corinthians 10, we're reading the history of the discontent of Israel. And Paul is explaining their history of what happened to them in the wilderness. And he is talking to a new generation to teach them to learn the histories of the past. He's trying to give them some new coping skills. Because the way that their forefathers cope with their difficulties or their circumstance and with their problem was by complaining about it, was by really lamenting the fact that they had to go through this wilderness experience in order to get to where God wanted them to be, that they had to endure this desert to get to their destiny, that they had to spend so much time out here wandering that they never wandered. See, there's a difference between wandering and wondering. And they used their experience of time in the wilderness to wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, instead of wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. How much time do you spend wandering or wondering? And if you spend any time wondering with an O, then you realize your wandering seasons, your moments of walking through periods of difficulty are not permanent, but yet temporary. And so when you wander with an O, you begin to imagine and think what it's going to be like when you enter into that moment of promise. And you keep your eye focused on that place. Yet when you wander with an A, you keep your mind focused on your circumstance. You keep your mind focused on the difficulty, on the dilemma, on the problem, never seeking the solution. And whenever you enter into the problem, you do not view the problem as an invitation. You view the problem as the difficulty that is somebody's fault. And when that happens, you lose your ability to cope, your ability to deal with whatever is going on. And so you look for somebody to attach your pain to. Has to be their fault. Has to be their doing. And this is the mistake that Israel makes. It is the mistake that causes their distress. It is the mistake that makes them create idols. It is the mistake that they made over and over and over and over again in Scripture, because they viewed their circumstance as so difficult and so horrible that they never, ever made it to the promise. And Paul tells them right in the text that you should have made it because of what was done for you in your circumstance. It is oftentimes that when we are wandering with an A, that we miss the work of God in our wandering. That though we might be in a difficult spot, that though we might be in a circumstance that is uncomfortable, we still can see God's hand working in our lives. Paul is reminding us that these people are on the border of promise, but they can't get over their problems. And so they're stuck in their wandering. And they're missing the work of God. And Paul reminds them that the work of God was happening while they was wandering. He says to them, I do not want you to be unaware that your fathers were under the cloud, that all passed through the Red Sea. Everybody made it out. He says, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't know what version of the story that you got, but God was working the whole time while they was in the difficult situation and circumstance. Can I tell you right now that God is already at work in whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going through? And Paul is reminding them in this moment that God was already at work. They all made it through the sea. They all were baptized into Moses. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They all drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, which was Christ. He said the rock followed them, which was Christ. I got to stop there for just a second. While they were wandering, the rock was following them. While they were searching for a way out, the word was following them. God told Jeremiah, I hasten after my word to perform it. God's word is chasing you down in your season of wandering so that you would stop drifting aimlessly away from what he promised because of the problem and start wondering how God's going to do it. Can I tell you right now, I know I'm fast tracking this and I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm so excited in my spirit. Can I tell you right now that you ought to be wondering how God's going to do it? You ought to be wondering how he's going to bring you through and how he's going to bring you out. It should not be a question of if, it should be a question of when, because he's going to do it. And Paul is reminding us in the text, he's showing us right here that they all made it out. But then it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. God said that they had given themselves over to lusting after evil and become idolaters and fornicators, and 23,000 fell in one day. God said, I'm not pleased with that. I didn't want to lose any of them. But they just couldn't let go of their wandering. He said some of them were tempted and were destroyed by serpents. And some of them that complained were destroyed by the destroyer. And then he says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonishment, our admonition. Upon whom the end of the ages have come. He's saying to us that you have an example of how to make it through. There's a way through your wilderness, and it's not by wandering, it's by wandering. Oh, you're going to make it through, but you got to wonder about it. You got to start to imagine the goodness of God operating in your life. You got to start seeing how God's hand has already been at work. You got to start knowing that he's been there the whole time. It's the amazement and the awe of God that he can keep you in such circumstances. I am amazed as I reflect over last year and just a few weeks into this new year of how God could keep us under such circumstances. Because it is not lost on me that not everybody made it. And so as I stand here today, I stand with gratitude, a grateful heart, and thanks unto God that I'm still here, that I'm making it. It might not be the way I want, it might not be the way I prefer, but I'm making it, baby. You ought to put right there in the comments, right while you're watching me, I'm making it. It might not be the way I intended, it might not be the way I envisioned, but I'm still putting one foot in front of the other and I am making it. And I have made up in my mind that I'm going to make it to the end. Till God brings me out, he'll keep me by the working of his hand. And God kept them. And so Paul jumps right into it and says, this should be an example for you, for us who are here now. And he's giving us this example in this moment. Why? Because he reminds us in verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. He's saying, remember what's keeping you up. Remember what's holding it all together. Remember who is behind it all. Remember, it is God's hand that has been upon you. Remember, if it wasn't for his goodness and his mercy, you wouldn't have made it. Recall to your mind so you can have hope that it's because of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed. Remember how you made it through 2020. Remember how you're making it through 2021. Remember who's going to be there when you get to 2022, because you're going to make it to there too. Remember. He says, take heed. It's a warning. It's a warning to understand the difference between stress and distress. It's a warning for you to begin to understand that there is a stark contrast between the two. And Israel could not decipher between the stress and the distress. They couldn't distinguish stress from distress in any systematic fashion or form. Because even though they are connected, they are not interchangeable. Stress is different. Which is why the next statement in 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. He's talking about stress. He's saying, whatever you are enduring, whatever you're going through, it's common. I know that's a bubble burster. But somebody else is dealing with it too, and much, much worse. Somebody else is displaced. Somebody else is dislocated. Somebody else is dealing with a hardship. Somebody else is dealing with deep grief. Somebody else is in a worse situation than you are. He says, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. Stress and distress. And Paul is showing us the unique difference between the two. Stress is an inferred internal state. Because no single parameter, biological parameter, can adequately inform on a stressful condition. And no single stress response is present in all stress-related situations. So there are many definitions of stress just based primarily on metrics used. In other words, stress denotes a real or perceived issue, problem that you're dealing with. It is a situation that might cause a response from your body, stress response. When you're nervous, you might sweat. Stay with me. Huh? When you're fearful, you might get a pain in your stomach. It's saying that your body responds in kind to the stress it endures. Stay with me. And so when we think about there's no temptation that it's such as common to man, we're talking about stress. And in its stress response, the body uses a constellation of behavior, or better yet, a physiological mechanism to counter what's going on. There is no temptation such as common to man that whereby God has provided a way of escape. But before we get to the escape, there's something in the middle of that that says God is faithful. Stress always has a reaction that your body will give to it that will try to relieve whatever it is that you're dealing with. Why? Because God is faithful. He will never put you under such stress that it's overwhelming. And he's already placed within you your physiological makeup, the ability to handle and to deal with whatever is coming your way is built in. You ought to shout, I can handle it. Oh God, who am I talking to? Because sometimes when we start dealing with difficulties and circumstance, we feel so overwhelmed. We feel so overwhelmed. We feel so overwhelmed. But I'm here to tell you, you can handle it. You're built for it, baby. You can handle it. You can handle this wilderness moment. You can handle this small portion of a circumstance that you're dealing with right now. You can handle it. You need to tell yourself that right now. I feel the Lord. And I need somebody to just say to themselves, I can handle it. No. I can handle it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can handle it. He built me in a way that I can handle it. Because if you don't realize you can handle it, distress comes. And when distress comes, the feeling of being overwhelmed, the feeling of not being able to make it, makes your body shut down. Distress is a negative state in which coping and adaptation processes fail. They fail. You cannot function in distress. You cannot move when you're distressed. Have you ever woke up and was so overwhelmingly grieved by something that you couldn't function? That all you could do was lay there and just try to breathe? Have you ever endured something that was so difficult and you couldn't tell anybody about it and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with you? You're in distress. The Bible says that there were some men that came to David in the hold, in the cave, Adullam, that they were in distress. You got to be distressed to choose to live in a cave. You have no more options. You have no more outs. There's no more help. Everybody has said, I can't do it for you. Every door has shut. This is all I got. And somebody watching me right now feels that way. And you feel, I can't move. All I can do is breathe. But I came to give you a prophetic indication of life being in you, because to remind you that God is still with you, baby, all you got to do is breathe. If you've ever forgotten who God is, just inhale and exhale. And it will be a reminder that you still have life on the inside of you. That the breath that God blew into the nostrils of dust is the thing that gives you strength. It's the thing that makes you alive. It is a reminder. Just breathe through it. Just breathe through it. That's all you got to do. I know you don't see a way out, but I'm telling somebody right now, just breathe through it. Catch your breath. It's why God gave us the Sabbath. It's why I'm preaching to you on a Sunday, so you can catch your breath. And it's nothing wrong with catching your breath. Catch your breath so that you don't get so overwhelmed that you're paralyzed and you're stuck there on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. Pick up your bed and walk. Catch your breath. Distress makes you not functional. But stress makes you function a different way. And so God reminds us right here in the text. He says, there is no temptation that has overtaken you, overwhelmed you, made you dysfunctional, made you to be in such distress that is such common to men. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be distressed? That means if you're under distress, it's not God. Who am I talking to? If you're overwhelmed, that ain't God. If you're feeling the pressure that you can't function, that is not God. He did not place that on you. He did not put that on you. Pick up your bed and walk right now. Get up. Catch your breath, breathe, inhale, exhale. Remind yourself that ain't God. He'll never place on you more than you can handle, more than you can bear. He won't even put an uncommon thing on you. He said, there's no temptation such as common to man. I'm faithful. If I put it on you, I made you for it. If I put you in it, that means you can endure it. There were three Hebrew boys thrown in the fire, and they had a chance to escape. And they told King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, Nebi, let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. We know that the God we serve is able to get us out if you throw us in. All they had to do was bow their knee. All they had to do was succumb to the pressure. And they said, not so, because if you throw us in there, he's able. But then they upped it one and said, if he doesn't, he's still God. Oh, you got to have the attitude in this season that if God brings me out, he's able to do it. But if he doesn't bring me out, he's still God. And I'll worship him and serve him while I'm in it. And the Bible says that they threw the boys in the fiery furnace anyway and put the fire up 7 times hotter. And when they jumped in there, they thought they were going to have a show of them being destroyed. But they had a show of God showing up in the middle of the thing that should have destroyed them. And when they looked into the fire, it was the king who said, I thought we threw in 3. Why is there 4? And one looks like the Son of Man. One looks like the Son of God. How does a heathen king know what the Son of God looks like? He saw God and what was supposed to destroy them. And they brought him out of the fire, and their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Not one hair on their hair, on their head was singed. I need somebody to understand, not only are you coming out, but you're not even going to look like you were in. My God, I feel the Lord in here. Who am I talking to? Not only are you coming out, but you're not even going to look like you were in it. And the Bible said, y'all got me up out my seat this morning. I feel the Lord in here. The Bible is telling us that God always has a way of escape because he is faithful. So he won't allow you to be tempted beyond you what you are able. But when you are going through a circumstance, he always provides a way of escape. And it is the way of escape, the knowledge that you can come out, that makes it bearable. It is the knowledge that things can change that makes it bearable. When you are in distress, you feel like it will never change. And my assignment this morning is to pull somebody out of the darkness of distress. My assignment today is to tell somebody, get out of that bed and put your feet down and tell yourself that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. My assignment this morning is to remind somebody that your season of difficulty is not permanent, but yet temporary, and God is about to bring you out. But you have to determine that it is not God's fault, and that if God put you in it, not only is he still God if you're still in it, but he's still God when you come out of it. You have to remind yourself right now that whatever it is that you're going through, it's not God's fault. And I know you're looking for meaning, and I know you're trying to resolve it in your mind logically, but sometimes stuff just happens. It's life. And don't let your life get so overwhelmed that you're in great distress. The Bible says David was in Ziklag. The Philistines had came and they had destroyed their little camp, their home. They had took their possessions. The men were so mad with them, they wanted to kill David. And David was in great distress in Ziklag. He was in so much distress that he had no praise in his heart. He had no prayer to say unto God. And the Bible says the way he got out of distress was not by a prophetic declaration. The Bible says the way he got out of distress was he picked himself up and he cleaned himself off. Then he went and talked to God. Baby, you got to pick yourself up. You got to clean yourself off. Then go talk to God. You got to get out of that bed of affliction. You got to get out of that bed of worry. You got to get out of that bed of anxiety and then go talk to God. Never talk to God in an anxious place. The Bible says that we ought to make our petition known to him. We ought to do it with thanksgiving, not with anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present our request to God. Then the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Get on up out that bed. Clean yourself up. Dust yourself off. Put on clothes if you have to. Get out your sweats if you need be. Get out of your pajamas and throw on a suit. Throw on a dress. Put a tie on. Do whatever you got to do. Get your face beat. Do whatever you got to do, but clean yourself up and let yourself know this is not the season of your discontent, but this is the moment that's about to define your destiny. This is not the winter of your discontent. This is the moment that's about to define your destiny. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you're about to go into a different scene, baby. Oh, I know there was some discontent in scene one, act one, but there's a scene two. There's an act two. And this season is about to close on your life. This dark winter is about to be shut down. And though there still might be snow on the ground, and though there might be another storm coming, it will dissipate. It will not remain. It won't last because God is faithful. And this is your moment of preparation. This is your season to start getting yourself ready. This is your opportunity to craft your vision. This is the time that God has given you as a gift so that you can give time meaning and start moving towards what he said you could have. This is not the winter of your discontent. This is the moment that's about to define your destiny. He says, I need you to bear it for just a little while longer. Because after you have suffered a while, after you have endured a little while, these momentary light afflictions are about to yield a far more exceeding weight of glory. You thought you were under pressure in this season. You thought that the pressure was so insurmountable that it caused some of you so much distress. Wait until you see the glory. My God, I feel like preaching in here. Because you're standing on the edge of your wilderness and God's promise. And you're about to go in. And God told me to tell somebody, you're going to make it. God told me to save somebody today with this word, you're going to make it. I see you under your covers. I see you wrapped up. I see you clothed in your anxiety. And God told me to tell you, you're going to make it. He's not going to let you stay on this side of the scene. So this is not your moment. This is not your winter of your discontent, of your dissatisfaction. This is the opportunity that is about to define your destiny. It's the moment in your story where you realized God is faithful. God is faithful. You ain't got nowhere for that distress to go but to sit on you like a ton of bricks. And God, I hear you, Holy Spirit, has me in here with a crane and a forklift to lift up that burden off of you with his word. He sent his word to heal you, to let you know there is a tomorrow. Don't you worry about it. That your difficulty is not going to define your destiny. That your history is just a lesson, not a life sentence. I pray somebody hears the word of the Lord today. And it is only through God's faithfulness that we can pull you out. It is only through God's faithfulness that you can fight your fatigue. It is only through God's faithfulness that you can face your fears. It is only through God's faithfulness that you can look at your failures and learn from all of your mistakes. And God has given us a reset to look back over our history so that we don't miss the moment that this season is about to provide, the opportunity within the crisis. Just a little while longer now. And you're about to see your way out. Just a little while longer now. And you're about to see God move. Just a little while longer now. And you're about to step into the promises of God. I came to tell somebody today that God is faithful. Don't you ever forget how faithful God is. His hand has been at work this whole time. And he's moving on your behalf. And as this word pours over your life, Let it remove every weight and every chain, every fetter, every bit of anxiety, every bit and shred of distress. Let it dissipate over your life. And let the sun come out and let you see the brightness of a new day. And let you wonder with awe and amazement about what God is about to do and how he's going to do it. And not, don't let any anxiety back in the room to fear when he's going to do it. And just know that he's able to do it. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. Unto him be glory, dominion, and honor, both now and forever. Amen and amen and amen. I pray you heard this word. I pray you see God bringing you out in this moment. As a matter of fact, just prophetically close your eyes and see God bringing you out. Imagine where he's bringing you to. God is about to take you somewhere. Somewhere new, somewhere exciting, somewhere powerful. And he doesn't want you to get to somewhere new and be the same old person. So get ready for your own change. I pray that you can see right now God taking you to unexpected shores, new places, new endeavors, new opportunities, new rooms, new circles, new jobs, new homes. I pray you can see God bringing you out. And when he brings you out, he always takes you in to promise, to purpose, to something new. He's doing a new thing. And I pray that you can perceive it in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you consider being a blessing to us as we continue to be a blessing to those who are in need? Get a seed in your hand and sow it right now. You can text GiveKLC to 73256. GiveKLC to 73256. We have fed thousands of families during the pandemic, and we want to continue to do that. We also want to make sure we're continuing to help people with the necessary PPE and all the things that they need, not just individuals in our community and our church. We're also helping other institutions as well. We're expanding our reach and doing as much as we can possibly do to do our part to make sure that people realize that God is faithful. Your giving helps us to be able to do that. And while I'm giving you this opportunity to sow, I also want to thank everybody who's been sowing this entire time. We thank God for your faithfulness and your attitude and generosity towards giving, because without it, we would not be able to help those thousands of people that we've been able to help. Thank you for your sowing. Thank you for your giving. We know God is going to return back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men shall find you and give back to your bosom. So today, go online and do it if you have to, or mail it right into the ministry. However you want to sow, it's available on every platform on our church app. You can download it on Google or iTunes at the Kingdom Life Church, online, or text it right now, or mail it. However you want to do it as unto the Lord. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you, and his blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and I'll be back next week with a word from the Lord.